This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
I need to figure out how this works. You think you know how to do something, and then you go into it, and it just doesn't work.
Required voice identification.
Jade and Dave.
Confirmed. Loading all signals. You are now silent.
Welcome to Different Strokes Guide to...
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. We just played Tina Marina, Soulmate, number 9. And before that, Little Red, Witch Doctor.
Now, we're getting into a Different Strokes Guide to Auto-Tune tonight. Sort of like a part 2 sequel continuation of your shoe swap to learn how to sing this week, Jade. Yep. So I kind of thought, well, Auto-Tune is actually... The first thing that came to mind when I wanted to do this Guide to Auto-Tune was because... A lot of pop, I should say more specifically, a lot of urban songs these days have that really kind of vocoderized, kind of robotic vocal.
Yeah. It's become fashionable.
It's become fashionable again. That's the thing. Cher did it in 1998.
Yes.
A lot of people are calling it the Cher effect.
Yes.
You know, that song she had, Believe, had that kind of robotic vocals.
It was vibration all over.
Oh, it was tones and everything all over. But so that auto-tune effect actually came to mind when I was originally thinking of what to do a guide to.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more I looked into auto-tune, the more I realized there's more to auto-tune this function than the aesthetic side of it, than what we hear as a vocal effect.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people actually use auto-tune, believe it or not. It's such a contentious issue in the recording music industry. It doesn't just apply to a handful of artists like, you know, Kanye West or Britney, but really everyone from country singers to Bollywood singers have had auto-tune used on their vocals before. It's actually more common than we expect. Now, the term auto-tune is used to refer to pitch correction technologies developed to fine-tune vocal and instruments for performance purposes and whatnot. It is actually used to disguise inaccuracies and mistakes, and it allows for the artist to sound more... As the pitch correction part would come in, more fine-tuned.
Isn't it kind of like a concept of editing almost? Like, you know, in editing, if we were to pre-record an interview, for our show, we would, like, edit out the bits. It's like, so, oh, well, we'll handle that later. We'll handle that. And that's kind of auto-tune, right?
It is kind of. But I think with auto-tune as well, it really affects the artistry of it. I'm sure there's some artistry to interviewing or some, you know, show podcasty thing that we're not really got down to, you know, books and papers yet. But people have this idea of artistry when it comes to singing, like it should be natural.
Yep.
So when you're running something through auto-tune, doesn't that sort of affect the authenticity of the record or the singer? Yeah. You know what I mean? People get into that kind of discussions.
It's about, like, you know, because it could be a start, like it's supposed to be a talent, right? And then is it really a talent if anyone can be fixed?
True that.
Yeah.
So during my research of auto-tune, I kind of stumbled on how it was created.
Okay.
Very interesting, because it was initially... engineered by an engineer, funnily enough, Jade, called Andy Hildebrand in the 90s sometime.
Mm-hmm.
He was originally commissioned to develop methods for interpreting seismic data. So like earthquake kind of data.
Okay.
And from there, he kind of, you know, realized that this technology could also be used to detect, analyze and modify pitch. From earthquakes to, correcting Cher's vocals.
So bizarre.
But there are... you know, logical pros and, you know, to this, because, you know, earthquakes have, you know, little bumpy things that Little bumpy things that register on the paper, waves, sound waves, hello, technician, as do singing and voice modulation and all that. So it kind of makes sense, but it's very interesting how he applied it across. Now, autotunes used in pitch correction. A lot of stars actually confess to using autotunes in performance. Actually, I think more people should come out and just say that's the case, because really it has changed the standard of pop music, and I'll go into that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. A lot of them say that it's, you know, they use autotune in performance because it's a safety net that guarantees a good performance. Now, singers like, I don't know, Reba McEntire, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill have all, these are country singers, by the way, have all come forth and said, yes, we use autotune. But it's also such a contentious issue that, like I said, it reaches out of the pop music realm. Different genres come to use it as well. There are lots of other country artists that have come forth, like Martina McBride or Garth Brooks, have said, well, we will never use autotune.
Mm-hmm.
What you hear is the real deal. So I find that's kind of interesting, because it's almost like, the way I look at it is, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
For me, it's like pop music's constant search for pitch perfection has led us to this level now where we've raised the bar that you have to be pitch perfect all the time in performance, in the studio, when you're putting out that record. It has to be pitch perfect. That who's really singing anyway these days?
Yeah. It's like you're not even singing anymore though.
In 2009 sometime, which is this year, Time magazine quoted an unnamed Grammy-winning recording engineer for saying, let's just say I've had autotune save vocals on everything from Britney Spears to Bollywood soundtrack albums. Every singer now presumes that you just run their voice through the box. Pop songs have become harder to differentiate from one another as track after track has perfect pitch. Kind of, you know, brings my dad's theory into play. It's just like, oh, pop music these days all sound the same. You know, all these singers sound the same. Miley, yeah. Taylor Swift, whatever. They all sound like teenage girls trying to sing, but are they really singing?
It's interesting because I kind of think of it like, you know, what I, you know how I always say what I like about music is personality.
Mm.
And to have like an auto tune is almost taking away that personality because it makes you all the same.
Yeah, but look, there's no secret that I'm, you know, aspiring to be a singer of some sort.
Oh, so you're going to come in defense of autotune? Here we go.
It's not a defense of autotune because I can't sing, which is probably true anyway. But I think, look, if you're an artist that's trying to break this industry, you got to think, you know, this is the benchmark that's been raised. Unless you can sing ridiculously well, and let's face it, even Mariah autotunes, what chances have you got? You know, the bar has been raised. This has become the benchmark level for any kind of pop artist that's entering the industry.
You gotta have perfect pitch. What's wrong with being an indie?
There's nothing wrong with becoming indie. Look, I can be an indie artist if I want. I might consider that.
You do like the artwork better.
I do like the artwork better. And, you know, it saves me on Photoshop fees from, you know, plastering myself on a cover. Let's just, you know, take a picture of a brick wall and use that as my album cover instead. That's edgy.
To be like completely edgy, it would have to be like a brick wall with some sort of street art on it.
Oh, I ain't ghetto. This ain't Run DMC, but we'll talk about my album cover later. Like I said, what really drew me to do this autotune guide to was the Cher effect, which was named after a 1998 hit of hers, you know, Believe, where she had that vocal effect on. Mm-hmm. So many pop songs have, you know, used the same autotune effect. After her, you know, there's Eiffel 65's dance hit Blue Dubba D or whatever it is.
I hate that song.
T-Pain, like I said, uses it. Rihanna's Disturbia clearly uses it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so saturated now, this whole industry, you know. Jay-Z actually released a single called Death of Autotune and deliberately made a point, a very conscious decision that is, to remove all songs with autotune off his album. So that's, you know, there are some people within the industry that goes, it's a little too much. Let's just try to keep it more natural. On the other hand, you always get artists like Kanye West, who's just put out a whole album using autotune.
Mm-hmm.
And this might interest you. At the 51st Grammy Awards, Death Cab for Cutie made an appearance wearing blue ribbons to mm-hmm. protest the use of autotunes in the music industry.
Are they the only ones who protested it?
I don't know who else bought blue ribbons.
Okay.
But it's, I think it's a good stand. I mean, yeah. They obviously believe in the cause of no autotune, but let's face it, I just think, I don't have a defeatist attitude, but I just think that this is just the benchmark that has been raised to this date. I mean, I did record a song a couple of years ago. It was called Après Mata, and I did use the Cher effect.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly believe it's an art form.
Yeah.
to a certain degree. Not everyone runs their vocals through auto-tune to get that Cher effect. It's going to turn out as good as Cher. You know, some people's voices are just the way they sing or something like that. It just sounds much better with the auto-tune effect. Mariah Carey, for instance, if she does the auto-tune effect, I don't think it will have a greater difference as Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child.
Are you making fun of Michelle Williams?
I am not making fun of my homegirl,
friend
aka
of different strokes.
Yeah, like the third wheel of Destiny's Child. No, I'm not. I fight for Michelle Williams on Joy, and you know that.
Yeah, I know.
You're listening to Different Strokes here on Joy 94.9.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.